Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, text 1, slok 207 and 208. After hearing the prayers of Dabir Khas and Sakar Malika, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Dabir Khas, you two brothers are my old servants." So in 207, Srila Prabhupada hasn't written any purport. So on the slok 208, translation, "My dear Sakara Malik, from this day, your names will be changed to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's initiation of Dabir Khas and Sakira Malik. They approached the Lord with all humility, and the Lord accepted them as old servants, as eternal servants. And he changed their names. It is to be understood from this that it is essential for a disciple to change his name after initiation. After initiation, the disciple's name must be changed to indicate that he is a servant of Lord Vishnu. The disciple should also immediately begin marking his body with tilak, udarpundra, especially on his forehead. These are spiritual marks, symptoms of a perfect Vaishnava. This is a verse from the Padma Puran, Uttarakhand. A member of the Sahajya Sampradaya does not change his name. Therefore, he cannot be accepted as Gaudiya Vaishnava. If a person does not change his name after initiation, it is to be understood that he will continue in his bodily concept of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Guru Maharaj ki jai, Samved Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. When I started reading these two slokas, I couldn't grasp, actually, I'll be honest, what was said here. But then after discussing with some few Vaishnavas here, the importance came. There are quite a few important points that Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purports. And I would like to talk about two of the main ones. One is the importance of taking initiation and changing of the name. And the other one would be the humility. Now, the importance of initiation is in every sampradaya. Actually, it is in every religion of the world. Some or other form of initiation takes place. In Christianity, they have certain ceremony and they are called twice born. In Islam, they have certain ceremonies. Even in Judaism, in Sikhism, there are certain ceremonies. So this initiation ceremony and accepting of a spiritual master is in every religion, in all humankind. In South Africa, there are Aborigines. Even they have certain ceremony and they surrender to the higher source. But in our Sanatan Dharma, the meaning of initiation is very deep. Especially if somebody is following a sampradaya. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, the meaning of initiation is deeper than we could anticipate. What is initiation? What does it mean to surrender to somebody? Do we surrender externally? Or is it a surrender of a soul to the spiritual master? And why change of the name? The change of the name, to my understanding, is that when we are born to a material parents, they have given us certain names, and we are known by that. And we do all sorts of activities without fear of any action or karmic reaction. Not saying that nobody is worried about them, but we are not serious. I can talk about my own experience. That with this karmi name, that spiritual value is not that strict. But after initiation, it is considered to be a new birth. The spiritual master, after testing and testing, and in last 10 years in our ISKCON movement, we have mentorship program. So the disciple, before going through initiation, goes through so much training by the mentors. And when they are ready, sort of ready, then the spiritual master would give an initiation, diksha ceremony, and he or she would receive a new name. And that name would be the eternal name. But that after that name is either Das or Dasi. So we initiates would receive a name, and they would become Das of that personality. Like Sutapa Prabhu, it's Sutapa Das. Am I right? So it's Das or Dasi. So we don't become that person by receiving a name. We become Das of that personality, of that dam, or that river. And when we become Das of that personality, somehow our inner development starts begin. We start growing from within. And we become attached to that personality. My Guru Maharaj gave me name Leela Shakti. And for a long time I understood that Leela Shakti is the Shakti of Lord Sri Hari. But then I started serving Vrinda Devi. And in prayers for Vrinda Devi, one of the prayers is that Radharani gave Vrinda Devi a name, Leela Shakti. And my mood completely changed. From that time onward, I began to see myself as a servant of Vrinda Devi. So the name that spiritual master gives us has a very profound effect on our spiritual growth and material growth both. Because with Karmi name, we are a bit relaxed. I was. But as soon as you get that name becomes so heavy, and it becomes a huge responsibility to live up to that name. And the name given by bona fide spiritual master in a parampara. And why do we need to be in a parampara? Again, I will only talk about my experience before coming into ISKCON, before coming under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. I was hungry for a spiritual path. Although I was brought up in a Vaishnav family, but there was something lacking. Something was not enough. And any sadhu came, any sannyasi came, I used to run. But somehow, that satisfaction that should have been, I never got. And then we started coming here to the manor. And when we took initiation after a few years, that contentment, that satisfaction became so serene in the heart that now there was no need to run anywhere else. And again, myself and my husband Rajnath Prabhu, we couldn't understand why we are getting so satisfied. Why do we have this peace in our mind after taking initiation from this sampradaya? Hence, we had taken initiation from other sampradayas, not sampradayas, other gurus. And one day we asked Shivram Maharaj about this, and he said, that because this is a bona fide spiritual master, and because this is a proper sampradaya, and then we did research on a sampradaya and the meaning of sampradaya, and it made sense. Even in our material life, without sampradaya, without great, 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 great grandfather, our bloodline has not much meaning. But if we search for our ancestors and pre-ancestors, somehow we become proud, isn't it? That we belong to this family, or this great-grandfather did this amazing work. But here, in this sampradaya, in Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, the pride, not the false ego, but the pride, to be under this shelter has no boundary. Because this is the right sampradaya. This is the right sampradaya going from our spiritual master right up to Lord Krishna. And that's why this is bona fide. And today, after so many years, I can say with pride that I belong to Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya. I belong to ISKCON. So the importance of initiation is quite serious in humankind. And previously as well, in our Puranas, in our history, there are so many leela, so many examples of a spiritual master who has taken a disciple under their wings. In earlier times, does anybody remember a spiritual master who's given shelter to these disciples and they've become amazing bhaktas of Krishna? Anybody? Srila Prabhupada, yes. But previously, like Narad Muni. Narad Muni was a spiritual master of how many? There are uncountable in Puranas. We can find the references in Puranas, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Ramayana. And spiritual master, the slok that we say, Om Agyanati Mirandashya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. That spiritual master opens our eyes, because our eyes, our mind, our heart is in darkness. And one person we can really talk about and glorify is Valmiki Rishi in Ramayana. Valmiki Rishi was a hunter. He was not a devotee. He used to kill to eat. He used to feed his children. He would go in the forest and bring dead animals. He would kill them and bring them. But the causeless mercy of a sadhu, he met Narad Muni, and Narad Muni saw him and thought, this jivatma is just roaming around. What will be his karma? So asked him the question that you are killing all these animals. Do you know the reaction? And Valmiki Rishi, the name Valya, said, no, what do you mean? What reaction? So Narad Muni said, do you know that by killing these animals, you will have to be killed? You will get severe reaction for this. And he said, no, I'm not killing only for myself. I'm killing them for my family. So they will be part of the reactions as well. Narad Muni said, I'll sit here. You go and find out. Go home and find out whether they will take part of your karma. And then you come and talk to me. So this man, he became quite bewildered and quite arrogant that I'll go home and find out. Who are you? My family is my family. Don't we have this pride that this is my family? They will be with me in thick or thin. They will be there in the hail or rain or storm or anything. But when the test comes, at the time of calamities, that is the time the family are put at test. And Valya went home and asked his wife, that look, I'm bringing all these animals, I'm killing these birds and beasts, and you cook them and we eat them. So will you take part in the karma? And she said, no, because when my father gave my hand in your hand, I became your responsibility. However you feed me, it's up to you. Can you imagine? Wow. So he went to his children. And his children said, no, we are your responsibility. You brought us in this world. So it's your responsibility. How you feed us, it's not up to us. Became little disheartened. He went to his parents, elderly parents, and asked the same question. And they both said, no, beta. When you were younger, we looked after you. Now we are weak. We cannot do anything. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So now we are older and we can't do anything. So we are your responsibility. However you do it, it's up to you. And at that time, Valya, he felt that there were thousands of thunderbolts on his head. He could never imagine that the family which he felt were his own would not take part in the karma. Oh my God! Whatever he had in his hands, that bow and arrow and that khanjar and whatever, just fell from his body, fell from his hands, and he did not even realize. And he ran. He ran to where Narad Muni was sitting. But because he was so sinful, he could not even fall on his feet. He just stood there, completely gobsmacked. Then what? What to do now? So Narad Muni smiled and said, "Did you get your answer?" With his head bowed down, he said, "Yes." "Will anyone of your family take part in your karma?" "No." "So what should I do?" And that is the question. Changed his life. What should I do? When we have a question, what should I do? What can I do? What is my goal? That changed his life. And Narad Muni said, "Sit down. I will show you how to get out of all this karmic reaction." And in that yoga, the mantra was Ram. And he was given the name Ram. But he was so sinful. Narad Muni said, "Chant Ram, Ram, Ram." He couldn't chant. Because his sins were so much, it was thick cluster on his being that he could not chant the Lord's name. But spiritual master has got a way. So Narad Muni said, "You have killed all your life. That's all you know." So he said, come with me." Took him to the graveyard in Smashan, in crematorium. And there was one dead body was burning. So Narad Muni said, "Sit here." "And what has happened to him?" He said, "Ye mara hai." "He's dead." So Narad Muni said, "Okay, sit here and chant. Mara, 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 mara. Mara, 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 mara." Chanting opposite to Ram, it became Ram. And he chanted for more than 60,000 years. And around him, there was a huge mountain of dust and mites and all that appeared. And when he came out from Valya, he became Valmiki Rishi. And from Valmiki Rishi, what did he give to the mankind? He gave us most beautiful literature, Ramayana. And he was the one who looked after Mother Sita when Mother Sita was sent to exile. And in his ashram, Love and Kush appeared. So the point is, the power of the mercy of spiritual master is of such that a total demonic person can achieve such a highest goal. But the question should be, what should I do? So many others went and did austerities. Ravan did austerities. Haranyakashipu did. And so many others. But they never asked the question, what should I do? Their question was, what can you give me? I don't want to die. I want this, I want that, I want. And their austerity was based on a want. I want this. I want immortality. I want to enjoy this material world. I don't want to get out from here. And that's why they ended up the way they did. Because the mind never got changed. Only a spiritual master, through his mercy, our eyes, which are anointed by darkness, can be changed with the love of God. Again, Narad Muni became spiritual master of four Kumaras. And what did they do? They were instructed by the father to go and get married and have children. But by the mercy of Narad Muni, by the mercy of spiritual master, they realized that this material world is full of misery. It's dukkhalai. There is no sukh here. This is not the place to be happy. This is the place of misery. And if anybody says that I have got no problem, financially I'm secured, materially I'm opulent, I've got name, fame, prosperity, everything I have got. I've got nothing to worry about. But there's one big worry, and that worry is death. Nobody is exempted from that. Even if we have got everything in our control, our power, our body is not in our power, our control, is it? The nails grow, and we have to cut them every now and then. We cannot stop our nails growing. We cannot stop our hair going white as the old age starts creeping. One may want to go and put color, but we cannot change that. At certain time, our eyes starts growing. We cannot stop it. Teeth starts giving trouble. Our ears, our joints. Isn't it our experience? That everything starts giving trouble and we have got no control over it. And yet we believe that we are something in this world. But the spiritual master can put us right. So these four Kumaras, they understood that this material world is a dukkhalai. And they, by their austerity, they pleased Lord Vishnu. And what did they ask? They didn't ask for liberation. They asked that, please, we don't want to grow beyond five. And nobody would imagine to ask a five-year-old to get married, isn't it? And what an austerity. What a life they led. They were exalted devotees. They were exalted sadhus, but in the form of five-year-olds. And a sampradaya started from them, Kumar Sampradaya. And who was the key behind that? It was their spiritual master, Narad Muni. Another person is Dhruva Maharaj. Five-year-old child was initiated by Narad Muni. And the determination, was it his determination? Or was it the mercy of spiritual master, I would say? How determined are we in our sadhana? But by the mercy, causeless mercy of our spiritual master and our parampara, that dedication becomes serious. We are constantly bombarded by devotees, by spiritual masters. How is your sadhana? Before asking us, how are you materially, they would ask, how is your sadhana? Is your chanting okay? Are you chanting? Are you associating? Are you reading? Srila Prabhupada has said over and over and over, again and again and again, that please read my books. All my instructions are in my books. So what is it saying? It's the causeless mercy of these personalities that they are so worried about our well-being. So accepting spiritual master, accepting initiation is very important. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to David, these two personalities, who being born in a Brahman family, they were serving the Mahamadians. And they accepted the Muslim names. We cannot even imagine, isn't it? Okay, what sort of lifestyle they would have. But meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, You are my eternal servants. You are my old servants. And same goes with all of us. Jive swarupe hoy nitya Krishna das. So we all are eternal servants of Lord Sri Hari. But how do we realize that our position? And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, from today I'm changing your name. I'm giving you initiation. Your name will be Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. This shows that the changing of the name by spiritual master changes the whole being of a person's attitude, aptitude, persona, everything. Because we would not behave the way we used to behave before. Before it did not matter how we roamed in the street, how we came across to other people. But after initiation, it becomes a huge responsibility of a disciple. The way he or she talks, walks, behaves, everything about that person. So the importance of initiation is very important, I would say. And changing of the name is giving another birth. So after the name ceremony, you are that new person. And live up to that new person becomes our responsibility. And on the opposite side, without the mercy of spiritual master, we are doomed, isn't it? There are few references in the scriptures that without the mercy of a guru, the disciples had no hope. And few personalities are there that I would like to discuss. Is number one is Karna in Mahabharata. He was born a Kshatriya, but unfortunately he wasn't brought up in a Kshatriya household, but his mentality was of a Kshatriya. And he wanted to learn about the warfare. And who did he go to? Parshuram. Yeah. And he lied. He did not reveal his real self. Parshuram taught him everything, gave him everything a guru should give. But the moment Parshuram found out that he has lied, he was cursed, wasn't he? That at the right moment, you will forget what I have taught you. When you will need it right at the right moment. And another person comes in the mind is Eklavya. Again in Mahabharata. Eklavya went to Dronacharya. Again wanted to learn about warfare. Because he himself was very amazing, very powerful. And Dronacharya said no to him because he was again not in a Kshatriya clan. And what did he do? Without the permission of spiritual master, he went and he studied himself. But his dedication to his guru was of that level that he got everything that Dronacharya had. He accumulated that knowledge. But when Dronacharya found out, what did Dronacharya did? Asked him for his thumb as a Guru Dakshina. And what is it saying to us? That without the mercy of spiritual master, we cannot achieve anything in life. So it is in our interest to always stay under the shade of the lotus feet of our spiritual master and Vaishnavas. That is the best place to be in. There is no other place to be in. So the importance of spiritual master and initiation from Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, we can take this in our heart and live accordingly. And another thing here I would like to discuss is the humility. These two brothers, the humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it's paining in my heart. My heart is aching seeing your humility. Oh, wow. Amazing, amazing. Is this external humility? Or is this internal humility? We come across in life and we would think, this person is very humble. But when you open and see in their heart, the humility is not there. There's aggression. Certain personalities you would meet and you think, I wouldn't want to be near this person. It's so rude. But they are so humble. I would like to talk about my thoughts. Some 40 years ago, when we first came here to ISKCON, to the temple, to the manor, by the mercy of Dwarkapuri Prabhu, we came here and it was Janmashtami. And it was on a very small scale. The Janmashtami used to be just in this little area. Well, it wasn't as big as this. We came in and huge loudspeaker, Srila Prabhupada was singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That was the tune. I have never forgotten that tune. As soon as we heard that, I thought, oh my God, what a croaky voice. What a voice. Because I was used to listening to, I don't want to mention the names, but some amazing filmy songs and all that. And those voices were, of course, very palatable to ears. And I thought, wow, what a voice. How can anybody listen to this? And within few hours, I wanted to go home because I couldn't bear that voice in my ear. And I told my husband that, can we go home now? This is giving me a headache. But it was Janmashtami and we had agreed to do some service. So we just tolerated that voice. And then we were given Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita that read from this little bit. And every page there was rascal, dog, cat, this, that, hogs. And I thought, no, oh, no, 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 no way. This man is rude beyond, oh, I can't tolerate this. We don't want to go there anymore. This man is so rude. Every page he's swearing. And in my household, if we swore, we used to get a smack from our parents. And we didn't want to come here. But then gradually, you know, that first coming here and first dislike about Srila Prabhupada's voice, maybe Srila Prabhupada felt that this woman needs a slap on her face. So we kept coming, coming and coming. And gradually I realized that actually the most merciful spiritual master in the mankind is Srila Prabhupada. Because he has not only delivered humans, he has delivered even animals. Now we would question, how come animals? Srila Prabhupada taught us how to offer food to the Lord. And this is my realization over a number of years, that when we offer, it becomes Mahaprasad. And there are times when I'm doing a transfer service in the pujari room, and I'm washing Lord's plates, and there are certain particles, and it washes away, and it goes in the drain. And then I realized that all those worms that are eating that, they are getting Mahaprasad. The food that we, the prasad that we throw, which is left over, and it's in the garbage tin, and it goes wherever it goes, those cats and dogs and those little foxes and those ants, whoever eats that, isn't that Mahaprasad to them? Aren't they fortunate? And who has given them this fortune? Only one person can give them fortune. Because if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, we would not be offering. And we actually, we are the instrument of delivering not only human by book distribution, but even these animals and all the worms in the earth who are taking Mahaprasad. This is my realization over the years. And the humility of Hanumanji is, can't even talk about it, how humble he was. When he was asked to go to Lanka, he was sitting right at the back when they went in search of Mother Sita, and there were Jambuvan, all big personalities were there. Hanumanji was best among them, but he was sitting right at the back as a meek person. He would not say, "I could do it," until Jambuvan said that, "Hanumanji, I think you can, if anybody could do this, you could do it." How humble. To be that humble, take a back seat, knowing that I could do better than anybody else, is a real humbleness, isn't it? Even when he brought the news about Mother Sita, he was actually embarrassed to go to Ram and said, "I have found Mother Sita." So what did he do? He went to Sugriv and said, "By the mercy of Jambuvan, I manage to go to Lanka. So can you please come with me so we can give this message to Lord Ram?" He did not go there in the front that actually I have found her. No. Humble personified is Hanumanji. Another person in Ramayana is Vibhishan. The humility of Vibhishan. When Hanumanji asked Vibhishan that, "How can you live in Lanka among all these demons?" If I can recall, I mentioned this last time as well, that how can you live here? How can you exist among these demons? And Vibhishan says that the way the tongue lives amongst the teeth, I live in Lanka. This is a verse in Valmiki Ramayana, that the way the tongue lives in the mouth, I live in Lanka. So how does the tongue live? Tongue has to be very careful, isn't it? Sometimes while taking prasad or talking, how many times has people experienced that we crush our tongue just a little bit, and oh, the pain is too sharp, isn't it? I have experienced it. So can you imagine, the tongue has to be so careful. So there is always a rivalry between tongue and the teeth. So 32 teeth sometimes looks at the tongue and says, "See, because of us, you are humble." But the tongue says, "No. The moment I will speak and somebody will..." All 32 of you will be out. You are safe because I am in my humble state. So Vibhishan was staying in Lanka like a tongue in the mouth. And the time came when his spiritual master instructed him. Who was his spiritual master? Hanumanji. He said, why are you living here? Why do you want to be here? Get out from here. Because Lanka is doomed. Ravan is going to be in war. Ravan is going to be killed. And you don't have to be here. And as long as you are here, because of your sukruti, because of your piety, because of your spiritual life, Ravan, it will be difficult for Ravan to be killed. Because if there is one Vaishnav amongst the demon, they are saved. So Vibhishan left Lanka and went where Lord Ram was sitting and took shelter of Lord Ramachandra in a humble state of mind and says that I am a demon. I am not even eligible. I am not even worthy to be here. But because of Hanumanji, I have come here. And Ram accepted him with folded, with open hands. Again in Ramalila, the personality, the amazing personality is Sabri. What a personality that for this woman who was born in a lower caste, when she found out that for her wedding there was going to be a huge massacre of animals, she left home in the middle of the night, ran away. And eventually she went and she found Matanga Rishi. She came into the ashram of Matanga Rishi. And Matanga Rishi very kindly accepted that little girl who came into his shelter. And Sabri served Matanga Rishi for many, many years. Until the time came when Matanga Rishi called her and said, look, my time has arrived to depart from this world. But because you have served me so sincerely, I am giving you blessing that you stay here, you stay in this ashram and you wait. And the mantra that I'm giving you, you chant that mantra. And one day, Lord Ram will come to your ashram. And Sabri stayed there. She did not question, but why? What am I going to do on my own? Who will look after me? She stayed in that forest and years went. She became old. She became so old that her body was bent. But every day she would go to the forest and bring fruits, put them in the basket and wait that today Ram will come. Today Ram will come. But she never lost her heart. The reason she never lost her heart were two things. Number one, she was so humble in her heart, in her mind. She didn't have any ego in her. And another thing was that she was totally 100% dedicated to her spiritual master. She had full faith in her, in the word, in the instructions of her spiritual master. And what happened? Ram and Lakshman came. When Ram and Lakshman entered that forest, Lakshman became very anxious because every leaf in that tree, in those trees, in that forest, were chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. He became anxious. He thought there was some demon here. But Ram said, "No, Lakshman. Do you not feel the depth of bhakti here? Let's go." And they followed that name, that sound vibration, and they reached at this little ashram where this old woman was waiting. And as soon as Shabari saw these two personalities coming, she got up and she knew at that moment that the word of my spiritual master has come true today. And in the state of completely bewilderment, she became so ecstatic that she started serving Lord Ram, and she was tasting that boar and giving to Ram. Lakshman wouldn't take it because it's jhoota. But Ram took it. And Ram noticed that Lakshman was not taking that jhoota bear. So Ram took from Shabri, took a little bite, and then gave it to Lakshman. Now it became Maha Prasad for Lakshman. Taken by Shabri, then Lord Ram, and then Lakshman had no choice but to take that, accept that. So again here, the mercy of spiritual master and the dedication of a disciple, Lord Sri Hari would come to that household. So Shabri is another one, humanity personified. And in Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev. We did talk about Bhishma Dev in Bhagavad class, but again I would like to rephrase it for myself. The mentality of Bhishma Dev. He was not a Brahman. He was not a sadhu. He was a kshatriya. He was a maharathi, atirathi. Nobody could win him. Not even Parshuram. Parshuram could win him. Even Lord Shiva was defeated by him. So you can imagine when somebody is at war, they are not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They are not like that. They are warriors. They are there to kill or be killed. But that was external for Bhishma Dev. Internally, he was totally dedicated to Sri Hari. He was so dedicated and he was so humble. He was so humble. And that the proof is at the time of his departure. Lord Sri Hari came and thousands of rishis from all over the universe, not only from this world, they appeared there to see the departure of such a glorious person. So we can learn so many lessons from this personality. And coming back to today's time in Kali Yuga, the humanity, the humbleness, the kindness, the compassion, the gratitude of Srila Prabhupada has no boundary. And in my understanding, in my realization, if we all follow what Srila Prabhupada has given us, our life will be successful. We will have a success in our life. It doesn't matter how long we have been in the movement. I would like to talk about one devotee who has just left her body. This girl used to come to the manor, but not that much. She had cancer. And Jankinath, about three and a half years ago, called me and said, "Mataji, this Shalini, she's got cancer, and could you please look after her? Could you please support her?" And I said, "Yes." So we started communicating, giving her association. But her cancer spread to such a level that it went, she had a treatment, and then it went and it came back, she had another treatment. Within these 3 years, she had 3 times chemotherapy, radiotherapy, operation, all these horrible, horrible treatments. But the last straw was when the cancer spread in her brain. And she phoned me and she said, Mataji, doctors have given me not very long time. Can you please help me? So I said, okay, what would you like? She said, I am going to die. I'm not going to be here. I want to take initiation. I want to go home. I don't want to come back here. And I said, okay, it was such a short notice. So I spoke to His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. Chandramouli Maharaj very kindly said yes. And in a very short time, she was given initiation. And then she went to India. And just last week, she left her body. But before leaving her body, constantly she was chanting. She had no association. She was in Delhi in her parents' house. Her parents are very pious, but not Krishna conscious. She wanted to go to Vrindavan, and they couldn't take her. So she left her body in hospital. But when they took her to the hospital, doctors said, we can't do anything for her now. This is her. It may be a day or two, maybe a week, whatever. But because of her condition, we will have to put her under ventilation. She'll have to be under ventilator. And we all know that medically, if one has to be under ventilator, then they have to be sedated. You can't put ventilator without being sedated. And when doctors told her, she herself had done PhD in nursing, and she was a professor in the University of London teaching nursing. So she was medically very up there. So she said, okay, I don't mind to be on the ventilator, but before that, I want to chant one round. So she, with her parents sat down, she made them sit down, her sister sat down, and she chanted one round. They all chanted. I mean, she couldn't chant like this because she was so weak, but she made her parents chant, and she said, put Srila Prabhupada's cassette on. When I leave my body, I want to hear Prabhupada chanting. So Prabhupada was chanting. They chanted one round, and then she was sedated. And after 3 days, she left her body. And when they were injecting her, she said, please pay my obeisances to my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas in London. So I'm conveying this message. Her name was Krishna Mayi. His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj gave her the name Krishna Mayi. And she is conveying her obeisances to you all. So here in this class, I'm paying my obeisances to you all on behalf of Krishna Mayi. And she is back. Guru Maharaj phoned yesterday and said, I have no doubt that she has gone home because of her sincerity and her humbleness and her dedication to Srila Prabhupada and our parampara. It is 8:55. I have taken a little longer, but I wanted to convey this message about Krishna Mayi as well. If there are any shortcomings in my speak, please, I beg your forgiveness. If there are any comments or any suggestions, please. Yes.